Welcome to the Seth Gardman On Podcast, from startup to stock exchange.
I want to start off by sharing. I want to share something personal about myself. I have 7 kids. Thank God I have 7 kids, and no twins, by the way. I want to tell you something else about myself. Although it might not look like it from the shape that I'm in, I try to play basketball 3 times a week, and I run about 3 or 4 different corporate service companies at any given time. And I mention all this just to tell you that I hardly ever have the opportunity or the chance to read. I don't read novels. I don't have a lot of down leisure time for reading. But I will tell you that about 10 years ago, somebody gave me a book. And I honestly can't even remember who it was that gave it to me. It's a small little red book called The Go-Giver by Bob Burr. And I encourage you all to write that down. And one day I was driving, the book was just laying on my briefcase on the passenger side of my car, and by a red light, I happened to just pick up the book, look at the inside page, it seemed interesting. The next red light, I read the first page. The next red light, I read the second page, till it got to the point where I literally had to pull over to the side of the road, and I read the entire book from cover to cover. It's not a long book, but it's a book that changed my life. And it changed the way I do business. And essentially, the book overall is about giving value to those around you. And so, to begin with, I want to thank my co-members of the board of directors of NEBA for giving me this time slot. Because usually what they do is they reserve this slot for a speaker that offers value to the audience. And for anybody who's been at any prior NEBA conferences, you know that this is time that people talk about market makers, about listing on the OTC or NASDAQ. I've spoken in the past on the topic of DTC eligibility. So it's very much in line for NEBA to be able to want to give tools and techniques to its audience members that they can benefit from using LinkedIn. So if I give you a lead or a client introduction, that's one and done. But what I want to get across today is that true value is long term. And if I can show you how to fish, as you see from the slide, as opposed to just giving you a meal, then that will enable you to build an ongoing and an internal asset. So really what I want to do is I want to try to help you help yourself. And the goal today, let me be very specific, is about practical tools. I do not want to stand up here before you and give you statistics about how many people there are on LinkedIn or different charts and graphs. I am a practitioner. I myself spend probably 2 to 3 hours a day on LinkedIn. And so I want to be able to share that with you today. Now, only by way of background, and I mention it to give you context, I'm going to run through where I come from. And the reason I do that is because I think that we come from the same audience, or we're headed in the same direction towards very similar circles. So we have that common DNA in the areas of business that we are all practicing in. So I used to be a securities attorney. I started a company called Vintage Filings, where we did the SEC filings for about 3,000 public companies. And over the course of 5 years, we grew that to about 120 employees with my good friend and partner, Shai Stern. We had the opportunity, thank God, to sell that company to PR Newswire. I was then involved with co-founding a company called V-Corp Services, which we sold to Wolters Kluwer, and I currently run V-Stock Transfer, which services about 800 public companies as a stock transfer agent, V-Check, which runs domestic and international background checks and corporate due diligence, and then E-Signature Guarantee, which is the only online resource to obtain a medallion stamp, a signature guarantee for the transfer of securities. And so my entire life has been very focused on corporate services. And I'm hoping that because I'm coming from that same area of business that you are, that there'll be a lot of overlap and some of the tools that I've been able to benefit from could in fact benefit you. So let's get started. I want to be very laser focused in the message this evening, in that this is not a discussion about social media. Okay, I am not going to stand up here before you fine people today and teach you how to become a YouTube influencer. I'm not going to tell you how to take the best pictures and post something on Instagram for your InstaFam. Let me be clear. I would love to go out for coffee or dinner or lunch with any one of you in the audience today, but we do not. We do not have to be Facebook friends. And the fact that somebody likes your article or your post on LinkedIn doesn't really matter. It's not how many likes you can get. It's the value that you can give and the value that you can get. So by a show of hands, let me ask those in the audience, how many of you have a LinkedIn account set up? Okay, that's pretty solid. Now, of those who have an account, how many of you are active on it every single day? Not as many. And it's a phenomenal platform, but I will say that it is something that has to be used often and aggressively in a positive way in order for it to function, I believe, in the way that it was meant to be. So why LinkedIn, right? Why am I discussing LinkedIn instead of other social media platforms, which obviously give you the opportunity to reach millions of people? So I'll answer that question as follows. About 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to be at a Inc. 500 conference in Washington, D.C. And the keynote speaker was a gentleman by the name of Tony Hsieh. And for those of you that don't know, he is the CEO and founder of Zappos. And he spent much of that keynote address discussing the definition of happiness. And what I learned, and I try to remind myself of every day, is that the definition of happiness means different things to different people. Let me repeat that. The definition of happiness means different things to different people. So if I have a product or a service, and I am bringing that to the CFO of a company, happiness to him might be cost savings. That same product, if I'm bringing it to the general counsel, happiness to him might be, is the product compliant? And then happiness to the CEO, obviously, is that something that will generate revenue? And so you have to adjust the way you approach people based on their expectations to define happiness. So before you get onto LinkedIn, think about it. What is it that's going to make you happy? What do you want to get out of this platform? Is it to meet investment bankers and to engage in conversations with underwriters? Maybe it's to find new customers and new clients and focus strictly on revenue. Or maybe it's just to follow in a positive way your competitors so that you see industry data, industry updates, different conferences that they're attending so that you know what to attend. There are a lot of different ways that you can utilize it, but you have to understand what your goals are. And there might be many goals, and that's okay because there are many tools each that will help you accomplish that. So I would like for you to indulge me. Everybody in the room, we've got about 200 people here. Please look to your left. Now look to your right. You've just made a first impression of these people. You know, whether the person is wearing a power suit, you know, with a pinstripe, or he's wearing a loud tie, or he's wearing ripped jeans and a t-shirt, which, by the way, the guy with the ripped jeans and the t-shirt is usually the one that can write the biggest check because he doesn't have to impress anybody. But that first impression is so important. And I'm the first to admit that it's not rocket science, but your profile on LinkedIn is the first impression and the first opportunity that you have to tell your story. So I put together a couple of slides of profiles that I've come across on LinkedIn, and let's do a quick audit review of them. And the first one is this gentleman, Damon. I don't know who he is, but it's pretty interesting to me. He didn't even take the time to, maybe purposely, include a last name. If you look at the background of his profile, and I find this so many times, it's just the generic blue that comes with the profile. So absolutely no effort or creativity was put in to developing this profile. It doesn't say what the company does. It doesn't say what the website is. There isn't any contact information. And if you're a public company, and this I see so often, and I don't understand it, and I encourage people to change it, if you're a public company, that means that you have done that all. You've gone through a very long and tedious process, whether it's the S-1, dealing with the SEC, dealing with FINRA, getting a ticker symbol. You have done battle to get to the place where you are, and you should be proud of being able to tell people that you're a public company. Tell them what the ticker symbol is. But so many times I find on a CEO or a CFO profile of a public company, they hardly even mention that they're public. Now, if you look at the next profile that I put up here of Emily Fauché from NEBA, I just want to show you how a small picture in the background can immediately tell and convey a message that makes people want to continue to scroll down and learn more information about the company. In this profile, she has a picture of an audience at a conference, and it shows that the audience members at this conference are engaged, they're dynamic, and that's the message, as someone who coordinates conferences, that she wants to convey. If you scroll down, you'll see she has about 3,800 followers. That also tells me something. And this is all done and processed in your mind when you say, oh, okay, she's got about 4,000 people that follow her. She must have some interesting things to say. I'm going to follow her also. And all of this is done in a matter of seconds. If you look at the next slide, not to be self-promotional, but a lot of thought went into the background picture of my profile. If you take a look at it, I've included ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange and at NASDAQ and at the OTC to demonstrate that I can work at all three levels depending on the size of the company. And I don't want people to think that my services are limited only to public companies. So I put a picture up there of when I met Damon Johns from Shark Tank and Jim Altucher to show that I can work with private companies that are entrepreneurial in nature as well as public companies. And then included in the photo as well, I have me at the New York Stock Exchange on the floor to convey that message to companies that want to ultimately ring the New York Stock Exchange bell that, yeah, Seth has been there and done that. Maybe if I use his services or I stick with him, he can help me get there. And all of this is done with just a photo. And as much can be told and as much good can come from having a well thought out and a strategic photo, that's how much damage can be done by a negative photo. A negative, not in a bad way, but for example, on this next slide, when you put up a photograph that has two or three people in it, or a group photo, that doesn't help me connect with who you are, because most of the time, I don't know which one is you. You see from these other pictures where people are posting pictures of themselves with their dog or with their cat, and it's great that you love your pet, but this is supposed to be a professional platform. So I would not suggest that you do that. And then you've got pictures like this where, you know, somebody might be holding up, you know, a beer or they're at a party. Unless you're the CEO of a brewery, the message is not to convey that you're holding up a can of beer. So let's move on to the headline summary. The headline summary is the opportunity that you have to go ahead and answer three questions. Question number one, tell people what you do. Question number two, who do you do it for? And number three, why should I care? Again, what do you do? Who do you do it for? And why should I care? And with the answers to those questions, the goal is to stand out. You want to show people that if they connect with you, there's something of value that you can accomplish together. And that gives them the incentive to scroll down to learn more about you. So let's move along in terms of an overall breakdown of activity on LinkedIn. And I've put it into different categories. You've got targeting, connecting, exploring, closing, and then branding. And I'm going to touch on each one of these topics in a very short and concise manner. When it comes to targeting, as a CEO of a company, you essentially have to wear two hats. Okay? If you're in the widget industry, I am sure that you know everything there is to know about widgets. But how are you supposed to know about raising capital, about going public? How are you supposed to know about meeting analysts or financial bloggers? And so the two hats are, on the one hand, you have to run your business as a business. On the other hand, you have to run the company as a public company. Or even if you're not public, you have to run the company as a media company. Because in my mind, it doesn't matter to me what business you're in, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a nonprofit organization, or whether you're selling cleaning supplies. At the end of the day, you're also a media company because you're constantly trying to get your story out. So, for example, let's say you are looking to meet people in the financial arena. So, there is a fantastic resource on the NIBA website, nibanet.org. And what's amazing about this resource is they list the members of the NIBA organization. So you've got a list of about 120 targets of service providers and underwriters and investment bankers. Now, if you were to go to any investment banking firm on that list, let's pick, for example, Lafferty. Okay. Now you go to LinkedIn, top left, and you type in Lafferty, and that opens up two opportunities for you. Number one is you are able to connect to the firm and follow the firm. And this way, anytime they do any events, anytime they do any announcements, anytime they initiate any coverage, you will automatically be made aware of their activity. You don't have to go out and search for it. And after you've connected to Lafferty as a company, you can then scroll through all of their employees and connect to the CEO or CFO or investment bankers at Lafferty. And then that will enable you to continue dialogue with the individual, which we'll discuss in a minute. But let's say you're not in the public arena. Let's say, for example, you want to meet people in the healthcare industry, so you want to connect to a healthcare analyst. If you go in and you type in very specific terms that are unique to your industry, it will give you tremendous topics to be able to go after. So when I type in the word healthcare analyst, I get close to 39,000 potential connections of people in that industry. And then with various tools, I can sort that down by state and by company till I find a more manageable amount of people within my target category that I can then approach. Another random example, let's say you're in the insurance business, D&O perhaps, and you want to reach out to CFOs of publicly traded companies. It's very simple, not rocket science. Type in NASDAQ CFO, type in OTCQB CFO, and you'll get a very, very specific target group. And the reason I mention all this is because you might think, oh, well, it's a matter of just clicking and adding some connections and it's cute. I'm encouraging you to look at it in a different light. These connections are really assets. Whether you have 500 connections, 1,000 connections, 10,000 connections, these are all homegrown. And once you've built this internal database, you can extract the data, you can extract the emails, and now you have a target list of 5, 10,000 people, not random people, but people that you yourself have chosen. And then you can do your own messaging. You can do your own email blasts, whether it's Constant Contact or MailChimp. And that's the value of having a connection. There's another value of having a connection, because at the end of the day, a connection is a warm lead. This person has looked at who you are. They've looked at your profile. They've seen your picture. They've checked out your message, and they still want to connect with you. That means they are one step closer to embracing you. That means when they accept you, they are open to potential networking between the two of you. You know, it's funny. I'll be honest. Even though I'm up here speaking in front of you today, I am probably one of the most antisocial people in this room. Like, at a conference, I'd rather be that guy that stands in the corner and is just texting on his phone the whole time so I don't have to go over to a stranger and introduce myself. But, as much as I don't like speaking to a stranger that I don't know, whether it's out of fear of rejection or just not knowing the person, if I do know that that person is a warm lead or knows what I do and is still interested in speaking with me, then I'm fine to continue the dialogue with him. And so that's what a connection is. It's a warm lead. And I would like for you to think about it as if it's a real-life connection. This is not something that's just an online click, 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 you know, jam your services down the person's throat. Think of it as a real-life dialogue in that if you went out with somebody on a first date, you wouldn't ask them to marry you within the first 5 minutes of the date. And it's the same thing with your connections. Let it breathe a little bit. You know, as soon as somebody connects with you, don't send them a message like, oh, did you hear about this great service that I'm offering and we have a special going on this month? You know, get 10% off. Don't send that type of a message within 60 seconds of the person accepting your connection. There has to be some dialogue. Get to know each other a little bit. And there are very specific examples. Like, I'll just tell you the other day, if you see here from the messaging board, there was a gentleman, Ryan Scott. I've never spoken to him on the phone, but we've had some nice interaction back and forth. I put out a message that I was interested in ICO's initial coin offering, and as a transfer agent, I was looking for some technology. And he went ahead and he said to me by message through LinkedIn, oh, you know, why don't you speak to these and these people or this firm, and if you'd like an introduction, I'd be happy to do so. And I do find, and I hope you will as well, that LinkedIn overall is a very networking-focused type of environment. People don't get upset most of the time when you ask them to connect, and most of the time, people are very giving and sharing with their Rolodex. So now you've got all these connections. Let's talk about how it helps your brand. Whether that brand is you as an individual or that brand is your company. You've got these connections, and now the point is to be able to tell a story. I can't tell you how often I deal with CEOs who, as we mentioned earlier, go through tremendous effort to become publicly traded and listed on an exchange. You know, S1, 211, DTC, DWAC, and then they say, now what? And I say, now what? Now go fly. Go tell your story. But how do we tell our story? How do we get people to know what we're doing? So there are two types of posts that I would suggest you try to do every day or every other day or even two times a day. There's what I call a selfish post. And again, this is activity that you are putting out to your newfound audience. And it's selfish, not in a negative way, but it's about you. So if you or your company just signed a new contract, let people know about it. If you have a press release, put it out. Let people know about it. If you're a biotech company and you just received FDA approval, put it out there. So these are all things about you or your company. But the better post and the better action item that you can do is to offer value to your audience of 1,000 or 10,000. And this goes back to what I said earlier with the go-giver, to always be offering value. What type of value do I mean? You can post things about industry updates. You can post things about upcoming conferences that people might benefit from. And people appreciate getting this information from you. I'll give you an example. When I was in the Edgar business 10 years ago, we would put together a list over the weekend of every S1 IPO registration statement that was filed for the prior week. And we would include the name of the lawyers, the CEO, the CFO, the underwriters, just industry data that was free. But we put it together in a sense, in a way that people would be able to comb through it and look for whatever it was that made them happy. And it got to the point where we would send out this list every Monday morning so that if something happened and we didn't send the list out, I would start to get emails. Hey, where's your Monday morning list? Where's your Monday morning information? And slowly but surely, our brand became associated with the value of this information that we were giving out. Another example, there was an attorney that I was chasing after probably for about 9 months trying to win an IPO from him. And I did not get the time of day. And then one day he does call me up and he says, I have another deal for you. And I said, that's fantastic. I'm excited. I appreciate it. We'll do a great job. We'll knock it out of the park. But I have to ask, I've been chasing you for 9 months. Why all of a sudden are you calling me to give me the opportunity to work on this IPO? And he said, I'll tell you the truth. I've been watching you on LinkedIn. So what does that mean? He says, well, I see on LinkedIn when you post that you're welcoming new clients. I see the caliber of clients. I watch you on LinkedIn when I see that you're speaking at an event or hosting an event, and I see the caliber of conferences that you're attending. And I see some of the industry data that you've aggregated and that you're putting out for others. And so at this point, based on your LinkedIn activity, I'm comfortable and would very much appreciate the chance to work with you. So there is a very tangible result that people can see when it comes to LinkedIn branding, because over time, again, that value that you're offering becomes one with you or your company, and that's a good thing. I see that my time is almost up. I just want to touch on one more quick topic, and that is groups. Groups are fantastic because you can join 5, 10, 15, 20 different groups, but targeted groups, groups that will benefit you. So, for example, there's a group on PIPEs, private investments in public companies. There's a group on going public. There's a group on NASDAQ. There's a group on the OTC. There's a group on reverse mergers. And what's great about groups is one word, volume. Because if each group has 1,000 members, 500 members, 15,000 members, then when you're in that group and you're posting information, again, hopefully it's valuable information for the group, but you are increasing the number of eyeballs that are seeing your information. On top of that, there's a secondary benefit. When you're in a group, you then have the ability to connect with the other members of the group, where you may not have otherwise been allowed to message that person. And you're messaging the fellow group member knowing that you share common DNA with them because you're both members of that group. You have common interests. And so, again, that gives it a little bit of a warm lead feel. And so groups is a fantastic way to increase volume of eyeballs. So I want to end by offering value. If I can help in any way with your LinkedIn profile or with any introductions from my contact base, thank God we've got about 20,000 connections at this point. And I also want to end by giving value. Anybody who gives me a message over LinkedIn, or if it's a new connection, connects with me after 9 p.m. this evening, I've got two copies of The Go Giver that I'd like to present to you. So thank you very much for your time. I wish you the best of luck at the rest of the conference.